Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. As young professionals ourselves, we're constantly striving to connect and uplift young people in the Toledo community. Our podcast is featuring young entrepreneurs and professionals in the area from all different industries and walks of life who are making an impact in Toledo.
We're excited to have our guests discuss their background, their education and training, and give any advice for other young professionals like us. We're also going to take a look at varying pop culture trends among Gen Zers like ourselves and discuss or debunk them, maybe even a little Roman Empire. You know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
Why is it so hard to stand up for yourself sometimes?
Oh my God, I know. It's crazy, actually, because in our generation, we are simultaneously trying to advocate for ourselves in every scenario and stand up for ourselves and be heard, be strong. But we also, I feel like, are kind of non-confrontational.
Yeah, I hate confrontation.
No, literally. Like, I would much rather resolve this with, like, a calm conversation than I would with, like, actually having to, you know, put my foot down. So,
right, exactly.
But and advocating for yourself is so important. You have
so
to do
important.
It.
And today, we have someone who is no stranger to that, Phoebe Adams.
So we are so excited to have you here today. I mean,
excited to be here.
First of all, we know you're a fan.
I've been sat since day one.
Absolutely.
I love that.
But what's more important than obviously loving our podcast is all of the incredible things that you have done with your life. You know, we
Stop
obviously want to
blushing.
We want to walk through a little background about you. We want to talk about your theatrical roots and what you're doing now, which is always lovely. But we also really want to dive into your exploration of gender and sexuality.
Yes.
Because you are such an inspiration to so many people. But I think with this podcast, you can reach a wider audience and talk about the things that you have been through. So let's kick it off. Just run us through your story, your background.
Okay, so again, my name is Phoebe Adams. It's so lovely to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes.
I am currently working downtown Toledo at the Lucas County Children's Services.
Yes, she is.
With my musical theater degree.
Period.
Period. I have been doing theater for years and years throughout my life. Actually just came out as like a trans woman literally on March 31st.
Yes, she
so
did.
So she's fresh. She's new. She's thank you. She's fresh. She's new. She's figuring everything out. But yeah, I'm like I'm a girly. Like, you know, we kiki, we have fun.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think what else. I'm a Cancer. That's very important.
Yes, so true.
Cancer sun.
Cancer suns rise.
Correct.
Rise.
And we do rise every day. I'm trying to think what else.
So obviously, you know, you are major theater kid energy, which
Correct.
Is always the best kind of energy.
Correct. Fact.
And you've not only grown up in theater, but now you have a musical theater degree in your person. Mm-hmm. And a little bonding moment for you and Libby because she's also a BGSU grad.
Go so. Falcons.
I know, right?
I was going to say something at the beginning when she was like, I don't know, like, where we're going to start, where we're going to end. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember the email that went out where that was like, just to know where you are?
Oh.
Were you at BG yet?
I think so.
There was this girl who replied all to the entire,
yeah.
like, the Firelands campus, the, like, every single person
every
that's connected
person.
To BGSU. She sent a mass email.
It
that was
went
like,
crazy.
I'm confused. And then she was like, just know where you are. And literally, people were replying to it for, like, weeks. And I had a friend that worked in, like, the email service. They had to unplug everything because people wouldn't stop replying.
It was kind of iconic.
It was iconic. And that girl left after that.
Oh, no.
She immediately transferred.
Oh, no.
I
mean, watch my seat. I
know.
I'm sorry. To me, that is a badge of honor.
No, it
That's
is.
Iconic.
Like, the fact that people still remember. I'm like, no, that you left your legacy
right.
today.
Left a legacy.
Left, you did,
that's
and she
so
did.
That's so funny. I forgot about that
that's
until
crazy.
Right now. I think that's my new Roman Empire.
But obviously, so through BG, talk a little bit about why you chose to study theater and your degree and just walk us through that process, too.
So I actually went into college. I went to UT first, but I went in expecting to be medicine, and like I was a surgical intern at Toledo Hospital my junior year of high school. So I was like, that was my path. I wanted to be an obstetrician gynecologist, open my own little clinic and do my own little thing.
Yes.
And then I got there and I was like, no, not for me. Not
yeah.
for me.
I think that's a fair experience for
right.
lots of students.
Yeah. Well, and I expected, you know, like I had so many friends that went to BG because growing up, I went to high school at Anthony Wayne. So like around here, everybody either goes BG, UT, kind of stays that area.
Right.
But it was like very interesting to go there, and the culture was not as, it didn't fit me, my vibe of like wanting to be super involved on campus and like being very social. Mm-hmm. It was all about like studying, which as it should be, like college.
Right. Yeah.
But that was not what I was looking for.
For sure.
So literally within a month of me being at UT, I had already applied to transfer to BG.
Oh, wow.
And originally I wanted to do theater, but then I was like, okay, like mom and dad, like, how are we feeling about this? And they said, no. And I said, mm-hmm. you know what? Okay, heard, valid. I get you. Like, I wouldn't choose for my child to also study in a place that, like, has no, like, career guarantee at all.
And no sure. job security whatsoever.
Whatsoever. No savings. Fine. No anything. But then I found out that BG had a, like, a Bachelor of Arts in Communications degree that was also a musical theater degree. But I had had a couple friends, like Joelle Stiles, mm-hmm. had gone there for musical theater originally. And I was like, you know, I've heard good things. I'm going to audition. So I auditioned in January, February of 2019. Got in right away, which was like slay. and then actually broke my leg on UT's campus.
Oh, no.
Do you remember this?
Oh, my gosh. Walking. Yeah.
I was supposed to be doing tech for 3B's mm-hmm. Mermaid at the time. And literally, I was on my way to tech. I ran to the dining hall and the UT like didn't salt the sidewalks. So I walked on like ice, slipped, shattered my tib and fib, had surgery 2 days later. And then I remember texting like the producer. I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. I can't make it into tech. Like literally a picture of me in the ambulance. Like, I'm so sorry. And he was like, okay.
So oh true.
And I was like, I was such an honored member. I was like, such a
valued
member of
yeah,
the team.
Yeah, no, you're in it.
But yeah, so that's kind of why I went BG, was just that degree change. And I also had a lot of friends there.
Yeah.
Which makes it better. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. I think the other thing, too, is you do want to pursue theater professionally. Mm-hmm. So you are working in this job right now. Mm-hmm. But with your degree, you would love to perform professionally.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I would love it if you could talk a little bit about your first professional gig.
Yeah, she kind of clued me in on this. I'm like, I need to know.
Yeah, it's tea. Everybody buckle up.
Yeah, it's a whole saga. So, but give our listeners the little clue in.
Oh, and I will. And I will. So I graduated in May of 23. Mm-hmm. From BG with my degree, immediately like went to Showcase, which is like a thing where colleges, like their musical theater programs go, they perform in front of agents, they do all their thing, and then you can get representation jobs out of it. So awesome. We went to New York, the group of the three of us, and which were two of my best friends. We went, I did Showcase. I had an agent interested and I was like, love, great. And then about 2 weeks later, I had to go back to New York because I was in the final round of callbacks for the Hairspray National Tour. It was between me and one other person. Neither of us got picked. The person on the tour stayed on the tour.
Ugh.
And then I had booked this contract in Maine. So I went to Maine at a little theater called Hack Attack Playhouse. And like, it was very charming at first.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a cautionary tale. I'm being so for real.
Right.
Like I left the program. I was on like top of the world. I had like done all these things. And I was, you know, really, really ready to go.
Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Literally, I had hope. Yeah. I had like passion.
Yeah.
And so I get there and everything's going well. Like people I'm staying with are lovely. I'm actually best friends with the person now. And then like the first week I was there, so they've like took me out to Maine and mm-hmm. I was living in New Hampshire in like Portsmouth area.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to see the first show of the season at the theater. And like as we were sitting there watching, it was Tick, Tick, Boom. And we look up, and as we're sitting there, we see bats flying around the performers in the middle of the show.
Yeah, immediately know.
We saw the bats, and I was like, okay, that's red flag. Interesting. So we talked to this
artistic choice.
Yeah, for real. I was like, you know what? In that really sad moment, that ate. That really bat served. So we watched that show, and then I talked to the stage manager at intermission, and I was like, hey, that bat. What?
Yeah, what's up with that?
And she looked at me, and she was like, oh, I didn't know you guys were coming tonight. Like, we didn't want you to know about the bats yet. And I said, whoa, what?
Wow. Yes.
So then we're all like kind of talking like, wait a minute, what do you mean bats?
Not the plural.
Not the plural, but also like the lack of communication
right.
about that.
Immediate red flag.
So then I'm like, okay, great. We go into the rehearsals and like literally the rehearsal and the performances were in a barn. And I would like, barn is a stretch. It's mm-hmm. a shelter.
Oh.
No insulation, no air conditioning, no airflow.
Oh.
Something about the summer, the main summers.
I was going to say, was this in summer? Oh
like
my
100
God.
Degrees, 100 oh, degree days.
No.
Like bad.
Yeah.
So we get through the rehearsal process and it's like time to open. And I had gotten sick the of like beginning of tech weekend. And I was like, this is so weird. I normally never get sick during tech. Okay, yeah. Cool. Why? Whatever. We go through and now I understand why I did. So first weekend happens and it was a like tragedy. We had one of our like one of the most talented performers on the entire show. She was a senior, now a senior musical theater major at UMiami in Florida. Mm-hmm. And she had developed a heart murmur and had also gotten back guano poisoning.
Oh,
now wait.
My God.
This was show two of the 3-4 weekend run. She could not come back. Oh, she had to go to Boston to get medical care immediately.
Of course.
Now, mind you, the same day that she had to call out and was never coming back, we also had an audience member have a seizure in the audience just from the heat. This was like, God,
that's
like
awful.
These people were like 80 years old and they were like they were proud, proud supporters of the theater.
Yeah.
Like they hit it every time they're here in the exact same spot, whatever.
Right.
They like literally woman was 40, 42, I think, had a seizure out of nowhere, completely healthy. And it was just because of the heat.
That's terrible.
So like in the middle of us literally singing a song, we hear like, hold, hold. And we're all like deer in headlights.
Right.
And we saw her like literally go down and we were like, oh, oh. And then we like got, you know, ushered off and we had to go back to our little dressing room and everybody's like, what do we do?
Right.
And then literally about 10 minutes later, they're like, okay, ready to go? And I said, oh,
there's no way.
And so
yeah,
we did.
Yeah, wait just a second. Oh my
no
God.
No way.
We literally went 10 minutes after that. So
you're
we got back,
kidding.
And the worst part was it was on a joke. Like we had ended on a joke, and we had to like repeat the joke.
No,
and I had to hit the punchline for it, and I was like, nope, we're not okay. Anyway,
such poor taste.
So we got through that, and
that's
then
fertile.
Like it was bad. So then like I should have also mentioned that like theater, we were doing Godspell. Mm-hmm. That Godspell, you do not leave the stage for 2 hours.
Right.
It is like an ensemble heavy show. You're in every single number. You're dancing the entire time. You're singing the entire time. And you're, you know, doing scenes.
Mm-hmm.
We never got to walk off stage during that time. So that's 100 degrees, let alone, you know, no air conditioning, anything like that. So we get through that. And I'm like, okay, love, what could go wrong? You know, I'm on top of the world. I'm doing professional theater. And then it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up, okay, so the swing for the one girl had to go on. She stayed on for the rest of the contract, and she did her thing. I got sick before the third weekend, and it was all, like, sinusy stuff. I should have mentioned the entire theater had probably not been cleaned in 20 years, 30 years.
Gosh.
So, like, right. Everywhere you looked, mold, mildew, asbestos, like, the most disgusting conditions. And we're breathing that in
right.
while we're, like, dancing.
All the time.
We have
inhaling
like,
so deeply
inhaling
to sing,
so deeply.
Like that's, yeah.
And then, I should have mentioned this also. During tech week, there was a point where the accompanist, like the piano music mm-hmm. director, she was like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. And we're like, what? You looked at her like keyboard. It was like the most bare whatever covered in bat guano, which is bat poop. Did not know this. Bat guano is one of the most toxic things to be around air-wise.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's like chicken, like when they, you know, use the restroom. That's apparently like also like the fumes and like the air with that is very toxic
that's
for you.
Disgusting.
I'm sorry. I wish everybody listening could see me and Libby's faces
no,
right
really,
now.
It's
oh,
right.
My God.
And I'm literally like laughing.
Oh yeah, no. Mouth agape.
No,
like,
for real.
There's no way.
So that's that awful. All happened. And then I had finished the contract, or I had gone back, finished the last weekend, and I was like, okay, we're done. I get to like go do my thing now. I had probably 3 other callbacks for other theaters around doing like Adam's Family or whatever all around the country. I was like, okay, so maybe I'll book this. Great. So then I get home. I left the 22nd. I got home the 22nd. Like we drove for 15 hours straight. Got home and I was like, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
So about 4 months after I was home, I had like complete trouble breathing.
Right.
Like fatigue overall. I couldn't work more than 3 days at a part-time job without like falling apart.
Right.
And I also had like chest pains. So it was like all like red flags. I went to like every pulmonologist, all these like doctors, did all these tests. I don't have asthma. I had, you know, went through all these inhalers. Basically what we landed on is that I have all of the allergens that I was surrounded by have settled into my lungs. And the only way to get them out is to do allergy shots twice a week for the next about year or so. And I will not feel anything for about 6 to 9 months.
Oh my gosh.
So that means that I had just gotten home. I was like ready to take on the world and I can't perform or sing.
Right.
Until I see, like,
oh
I can sing, but I don't feel like it's not the same. And
right.
I'm not definitely not back to normal until about like probably still more 6 months from here.
Jeez.
That's so sorry.
Definition of changing your trajectory.
No, for
like,
real.
Wow.
Like, it yacked
and
me.
And it's like whole time you think you're, you know, starting out doing great. And right? It's like, wow.
Yeah.
So tell us, like, what takeaways you have from that as far as anyone looking to go into professional theater and
even yourself, too. Like, what are you going to look for differently for your next opportunity?
So one of the biggest things that I wish I would have noticed was on the contract, like, so I don't, for anybody who doesn't know, like for professional theater, you get, it's basically all contract work. Mm-hmm. So you get sent a contract once you get an offer, and it's basically like telling you everything. It's telling you your payment, where you're living, all of this stuff. And you're supposed to, like, it's all of, it's basically like what your life is going to look like for that extended amount of time.
Sure.
My contract was 6 weeks. I wish I would have looked for the red flag that they had a clause on there that said nobody could talk about what they're getting paid.
Always a red flag in any job.
Correct. And like I had talked to a professor about it. He was like, it's honestly not a big deal. I was like, okay, cool, great. Biggest takeaways would be like being okay. Like I hate the idea that, you know, if you have an issue with something that makes you like a trouble person or like hard to work with. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be like that. And so I think my biggest takeaway is like, it is okay if you can't accept a job. It is okay if the thing that you want to do more than anything is work professional theater and you get that one contract offer and you say no. It is okay.
Yep.
Because in the long run, if I would have said no to that contract, I could have been working professionally this entire year.
Right.
And I wouldn't have even thought twice. So I think giving myself permission and anybody else permission to say no to things, to even if you get there and you're like, you know, I'm really excited, and you get there and you see the conditions, like when I saw the show and I saw the bat, mm-hmm. and then her response, I should have been like, okay, red flag right there. We need to rediscuss everything.
Yeah,
right.
Because that was fully in my right. But at that, I was so naive and I was so just excited to be doing the thing and to be hired to come out there all the way from Ohio.
Of course.
So that would be the biggest one. Also, just being like comfortable advocating for yourself. That is a very big skill that mm-hmm. I mean, that has carried across all different
ways
of life.
Yeah.
But just being able to advocate for, you know, what is working for you, what is not. If something health wise is genuinely not okay, be okay. Like, it is, nobody else is going to read your mind and know that you're not okay. You have to be the one to advocate for yourself always.
Sure. Yeah, that's great advice.
And I want to take a look at that too, because advocating for yourself is something that you're no stranger to. I mean, you in many situations in your life have had to advocate for yourself, and now you have learned this lesson in your professional life, but I want to take it over to your personal life.
Let's do it.
So obviously, as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you recently came out as a trans woman.
Yes!
And so, which is literally the biggest flex. Like, you're incredible.
Thanks.
I want you to tell us kind of about your journey, because when we met and when we became friends, you were out as a gay man.
Yes, I was.
And I would love it if you could talk about advocating for yourself mm-hmm. through that whole process of transitioning through your sexuality, through your gender, and kind of where you've landed now.
I'm going to give you all the full scoop, okay? This is genuinely fascinating stuff. If I do say so myself, it curls the non-existent hair behind my ear.
So sure.
But so something that I think is like a misinformation about like trans people is that like it's all one path.
Right.
It is such a personal experience and it is such a personal thing to go through. There is no one way, no matter how you're going through it, is the correct way, because that's how you're going through it.
Right.
So just, you want to start there. But when I'll take it back to the beginning. When I was 5 years old, I remembered these conversations, but I don't remember like vividly saying it. Mm. But I would complain to my mom constantly as like a 4 or 5 year old. I was like, Mom, I'm born in the wrong body. I don't know what is going on. I don't know why this is happening. I feel so weird.
Wow.
And I would be like sobbing. I was angry. And she was like, now what do I do with this? Like, I have two older brothers that are like, you know, very, very masculine, like sport, like all sports. And then I was like, I want to dance.
Right.
And so that was like the very beginning. And then here's a little tidbit. When I was in fourth grade, I had a dream. This is crazy. So that's actually how I got my name. So when I was in fourth grade, I had a dream that I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I was 10 years, probably, how old are you, like 8, 9, 10, something like that.
Yeah.
So I was probably 10. I've been very fascinated with pregnancies for like a very long time, since early years of my life. And like, I think that it's just the coolest thing ever to like watch somebody literally grow a human being and walk away the next day and be like, okay, let's go home.
Right.
Obviously that's not how it works, but you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I had like the concept of pregnancy. I didn't understand the mechanics of how somebody gets pregnant. I was too young and I was just, you know, whatever. That didn't matter to me. But in this dream, I had a dream I was pregnant. I was 10 years old. There was no, like, you know, partner in that process. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it was like a movie. And I had started the dream, and I literally, like, had taken a pregnancy test, and I was like, oh, I'm pregnant. And then it was like a movie sequence where it, like, goes through, and it's like a montage almost.
Yeah, like
and
a little supercut.
Exactly. And so literally it was like when I would talk about these dreams, it is literally like I'm watching a TV show. Mm-hmm. So it gets through, you know, the 9 months, and it's like me at, like, a baby shower and me, like, picking out clothes and, like, shopping, whatever.
Yeah.
So comes time, you know, have the baby. And I was like, okay, it's time. Like, and I started freaking out because I was like, anatomically, this doesn't make sense. And I know that much, that this is not going to work how this is supposed to work. So for some reason in my brain, which I now understand why, my mom was, like, the person that I was identifying myself with a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, you know, in bed, the nurse, couldn't tell you who it was like, it's time to push. And I was like, oh. And so I, like, tapped my mom's arm, and we switched bodies. And then she gave birth, and we flipped back magically. It was, like, this whole,
oh,
like,
yeah.
thing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I now understand why, but we'll mm-hmm. get to it. So then after that, the crazy part is that dreams continued. Mm-hmm. And the dreams continued for about a year after that. And each time I had the dream, it continued, like, the story continued. So by the end of them, the daughter I had was 9 years old.
Oh,
no, 10 years old. She was the age I was when I had the first dream. Mm-hmm. Her name was Phoebe.
Oh.
And so literally, like, I think that is so crazy that my young self, like, and I always chalked it up to be like, oh my God, that's so fun. Like, haha, I'm so quirky. I had this dream when I was in fourth grade. Now doing therapy, recommend therapy highly, I have learned what it means. I assigned myself into a position where I was in a female role, mm-hmm. a mother. I was like, I assigned my, like, my mom being in the dream with me, I assigned her a role, and I, you know, identified with that role. But the thing that gets crazy to me is the idea that my mom and I flipping bodies. Right. I never understood that.
Right.
The thing that I remembered, you know, after all these years was that in all of the dreams, it was all my memories. So when I was watching Phoebe grow up, I was watching her play soccer like I did. I was watching her do all the things that I had done.
That's so beautiful.
And, like, thinking about it now, I'm like, my mom birthed her.
Yeah.
She is me.
Like, oh, Phoebe, it was I'm going to cry.
No, it's literally crazy. And my therapist, I was telling her about this, and she was like, huh? but, yeah, it was just, like, this really crazy, like, thing that, for me, it just reaffirms the thing that, like, being trans is not a choice. Being trans or being LGBTQ in any way, shape, or form is not a choice.
Right.
If I could choose to be, like, comfy in the skin I was born in, done.
Yeah.
If I could choose to, like, love women, girl, you already know I would. Hi.
Period.
I'd be knocking on Riley's door today. but anyway, like, it's just, like, the idea, like, me at 5 years old, I had this understanding about myself that I couldn't put into words and I couldn't conceptualize.
Yeah.
And so through therapy and everything like that, I now understand what this served as. But that'd be, like, that's kind of, like, the biggest story with that. I, you know, for years, I didn't ever think that that was relevant to anything. So I went through my life like, yeah, I'm a guy, like, yeah, I'm doing my thing. I always, you know, I've always identified with women more, and, like, mm-hmm. I can have relationships or, like, conversations with them
sure.
a lot quicker than I can with men.
For sure.
And I always thought that was, like, a, you know, like, a gay trauma thing or, like, whatever, because I went to conservative high school. You know, it wasn't the cutest. But then when I got to my junior year of college, I was like, okay, something's a little fishy in here. I'm not, this ain't vibing anymore.
Right.
And I would notice that when people would say, like, oh, like, yeah, you're a gay man, I would have this little, like uncomfy feeling. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, it was unsettling. And it was, like, it didn't hurt, but it was more so, like somebody just called me the wrong name.
Right.
And I was like, that, yeah. I don't know what you're, okay, interesting.
That makes sense.
And so it was, like, this slow development where I felt like I was going crazy for some reason, which obviously I was not. And there was a day, so I ran Alpha Psi Omega, which was, like, the Theater Honor Society at BG. Mm-hmm. We did, like, a spring mask, which is, like, the BGSU Tonys, essentially, for the mm-hmm. the theater season. And you always dress formally. And so I went, it was the first time I ever dressed femme in, like, a, you know, big setting. And so I had, like, done my makeup, and I went as Aphrodite because it was, like, Greek mythology themed.
Oh, wow, cool.
And, like, just watching people's reaction to how I walked into the space, like, my friends would, like, they just started crying because they were like, I've never seen you look more happy and more you.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, wait a minute. What are we saying here? What is this? What does this mean? And so I went on, and, you know, that's about this point was when I really started with therapy with my new therapist.
For sure.
And you know, we started talking about it and I was like, there's just this feeling I have that I'm like, I don't feel like I'm either. So then for about 2 years, I was identifying as like non-binary mm-hmm. as I was exploring. Not that being non-binary is like a road to being trans. That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, non-binary people are valid as they are. But
I think people also fail to recognize that things can happen in like phases too for uh-huh. you. Like it's about what's most comfortable for Correct. You at the moment. Correct. So it's like you didn't immediately just want to say, I'm Phoebe. I am using she, her pronouns. You were like, this is me right now.
Exactly.
Which is totally valid.
Well, and the thing is like when you're taking steps into this space, especially when like societally you're conditioned to think like what you're doing is wrong or mm-hmm. what you're doing is like crazy or not okay, you start to second guess like everything. And so, like, the biggest thing that I have noticed about myself that I'm really appreciative is that I take it 1 second at a time and I think, like, okay, what in this moment, you know, at this time, what is right for me at this point? Right. I'm going to do that. Yeah. And then, you know, that progresses me down a little path. And then, you know, a month later, I'm like, okay, there's a new step here. Okay, I'm going to take that now.
Yeah.
And that has been the most, like, easy, just, like, it's been a slow road of accepting myself for me. But then it just, you know, understanding what I was feeling was the biggest thing, too.
Definitely.
So
that's a great perspective. I mean, one step at a time.
Thanks.
I love that.
Thank you.
That's good advice in any sector, yeah, for sure. Right.
It's, again, I'm going to say therapy.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Cannot preach it enough.
And I won't. But then I had gotten through college. I had come back from my contract and I was like, there's something weird. There's this feeling that's unresolved. Mm-hmm. And so I was, in the middle of a therapy session, and I said something like, we were talking about, you know, I was working as a receptionist at a hair salon at this point, and I'm the first face people see when they walk in, and, you know, like, I loved it, but then there was this underlying fear that I was like, oh my gosh, when they look at me, they're seeing a man, and that hurts me, like, that makes me so uncomfy. Mm-hmm. And so I was in the session, and I just yelled out at one point, I was like, I just wish people saw me, and I, like, paused. And she was like, oh. And I said, I need a minute. And she said, heard. So I sat there and I literally was just like reeling. And in that exact moment, it was it was Friday the 13th.
Wow.
Fair. I felt literally my entire life like sink up.
Yeah.
And it was like this feeling of like, oh. Like it was like the last puzzle piece just kind of set in.
I just got chills.
It's crazy.
Like I got real
like I sat there and I was just like, okay. If you can't see my face, but I'm literally like jaw dropped. And I was just like, okay, interesting. So then my therapist kind of was like, okay, yeah, like we can explore pronouns. And I don't think she recognized in the moment how like drastic that shift was for me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, we can talk about it. Me sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a woman.
Yeah.
And so I literally hung up the call, sat there in silence for like an hour and just like stared at my like bed. And I was like, just thinking through everything and all of those dreams came up and I was right. like, holy crap. And then the times where I would say stuff to my mom and just the amount of times where like somebody would say man or he or whatever. And it would give me this little feeling, mm-hmm. all of it synced in. And I was like, oh my gosh,
wow,
this makes so much sense now. And
so beautiful.
Thanks.
And it's crazy how it can happen like that. Like and just one moment and then everything just sinks.
Right. Which I would imagine is not the case for everyone.
Right,
but that's
exactly.
such a beautiful experience that you got to have.
Thanks. But yeah, that's – and then here we are now. I ended up posting it. I literally did a hard launch. And because me being me, I'm very like detail-oriented. And so I want to make sure like everything's – all my ducks in a row before I, you know – allowed about something. Mm-hmm. So I organized, like I had a couple friends come over and we literally did pictures and my friends are not photographers. And so I was like, okay, take a picture of this. And I sat there and just edited the crap out of them, mm-hmm. which was also just all of the people that came were women and then there was a trans man that was a best friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And every single person in that room was like the most cheerleadery, like,
right.
And like, so the minute I came out in like my first outfit to do these pictures, like everybody's just like sobbing.
Right.
And it's just like this
That's
beautiful
great.
Moment. So for anybody who is like questioning transitioning or anything like that, if you ever decide to do photos, invite your friends to them.
Yeah.
Best thing
yeah.
I've ever done in my entire life.
Right.
So you had a lot of support overall.
So much support. When
That's
I ended
great.
Up posting, it was over 400 something comments, mm-hmm. of like people commenting like how much they love me, how like people that I didn't even know that
yeah.
were just like, because I mean, I had drafted that post probably 20 times just to get the words right. And I did find that at the beginning I was apologizing for like, you know, in this new space, I felt like it was a burden of me to ask somebody else to learn a new name and learn new pronouns, which is not the case. Because
right.
I know, like, if anybody else in the world was like, okay, this is my name, I'd be like, heard, done, set,
right,
contact changed. Yeah. Sounds good.
Literally.
And so I had to like kind of take a second and like give myself that same grace, mm-hmm. which I'm very grateful that I have had the support I have. So I posted. I have gotten nothing but like loving comments.
That's so great. Yeah.
People are like hugging me every time they see me now. And it's just so sweet.
I love that.
But yeah.
That's incredible.
Thanks.
And you did also appropriately post on Trans Visibility Day, if yes, I remember right, yeah, correct.
Oh, yes, you did. Oh, that's so funny. I forgot about this. So I was timing it out and I wanted to make sure it was in Women's History Month.
Right.
And it was also the Trans Day of Visibility. And it just happened to be Easter, which I did not recognize. But then became the Creative Commons. And so the Instagram caption, I think, was like, she has risen indeed.
No, literally.
And I was like, you know what?
That was privately. I didn't comment it, but that was privately what I said as well, because it was very funny. Yes. But no, I just remember seeing that post and just seeing such a stark difference in you when you were younger and you were happy when you were younger, but watching the true happiness just flood through those photos was incredible.
Thank you.
And, you know, we're both so inspired by your story, but we also do just want to give you the space to give some advice to anyone who might be going through a transition or who, you know, just feels like they are uncomfortable with themselves right now. What would you tell them?
Okay. I love this. Thank you for asking me to do this. I think my biggest thing is one of the, like, my favorite things ever that therapist has told me is that no matter what you do, like, you know how a lot of times in society we have, like, these, like, gendered activities or gendered, like, jobs or whatever.
Right.
And so you think, like, okay, so he is manly because he does this, or she is very feminine because she does this. Mm-hmm. If you are doing anything, like, if the fact that I identify as a woman and, like, have figured this out at this point in my life, anything I do now is feminine. Anything I do now is womanly because I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, no matter who you are and what you identify as, whatever, like, accepting the fact that no matter what you do, no matter what actions you take, there is not one way to be anything.
Right.
There are so many men that are, like, you know, cars and football and whatever, mm-hmm. but there's also men that are like poets and, you know, do all these things. So there is no, like, there is no one way to be anything. So accepting that first is my biggest one.
Yeah, second, I love that.
Thank you. Second, I would say, again, take things one step at a time. You will not have all the answers and it's okay to not have the answers. Mm-hmm. One of the best parts is, like, you know, slowly understanding yourself and, you know, working through the feelings that you've been trying to understand for years. No matter what time this, you know, transition period starts for you. Also, I think one of the biggest ones is surrounding yourself and giving yourself permission to not be around people that are going to, like, are going to hurt your mental health with this.
Yeah.
One of the things that I said in my post was, like, I will not have hatred in my heart. I will not be upset. I will not be angry at anybody who does not respect this new identity, this new anything. Mm-hmm. But also, I have full, like, I have full ability to be like, okay, our relationship is going to change then.
Yeah.
And there doesn't have to be hate with that. There doesn't have to be anything, but it's the thing of, like, I'm protecting my peace.
Yeah.
I'm protecting the fact that I have worked so hard to get to this point and it is a fragile point to get to. And, like, just letting anybody into your circle at that point is just not going to serve you. So yeah. Surrounding yourself with the people who are there for you. And this is just random, but the people who, I don't know if you guys have seen this. There was a thing on TikTok, and it was like, surround yourself with the people that your inner child and your younger self, like, thrives around, or the energy comes alive with. Yeah. And I think, like, us together, mm-hmm. we very much are in that space.
For sure.
And we will be. Don't even worry.
Yeah, I know.
But just, like, finding those people in your life is one of the most important things, because I can honestly say, if it was not for my support system, my friends and my family that have been so, like, accepting of this, I would not have near the courage to, like, step into this space now.
Right.
So big shout out to all y'all. And also, again, there's no right or wrong or any specific way of how to do things. Whatever way you do it is the perfect way, because it's how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And as long as you're protecting yourself mentally, you know, you're getting the help that you need if you're really struggling to work through things. Again, I'm a big proponent for therapy, so therapy has helped me a lot in this space. But also just allowing yourself the space to figure it out. Like, not having the answers is okay, and it is also okay to search for them. Like, we get to live for how long, we don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, take the time to, like, understand yourself, but also understand how you exist in the world and what impact you want to have.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you asked me this question is one of my biggest, like, heartwarming things, is that I never had the person to look up to be like, oh, like, what did they feel like when they were transitioning or anything like that? And so me having this opportunity, I appreciate you so much for giving it to me, because it just means the world to me.
I appreciate you so much for sharing your story.
Seriously.
It's beautiful.
I mean, you don't have to share. Like, you are under no obligation to be vulnerable about your journey and your path, but the fact that you are doing it is so inspiring.
Thank you.
And seriously, y'all, hit up Phoebe if you have any questions.
Yeah, hit me up, girl.
She is the bomb. Okay. So, Phoebe, I will not make you wait anymore. I know you're so excited for our favorite segment of the podcast. It is the Roman Empire time.
Thank God.
So, Libby, why don't you kick it off today?
Okay. I want to say, on a kind of sentimental note, my Roman Empire is that since coming out with this podcast, like, my friends and family have been sending me their Roman Empires, and I love that so much.
Right.
I love that so much.
I love hearing it from everyone, and it's just fun. I love it. Yeah. And I think everyone should know their Roman Empire.
I was going to say, we love hearing from you, too, so please send us your Roman Empires if you're listening. And,
Hit the line.
Like, comment, subscribe, babe. But no, that is so sweet. And on a similar sentiment, mine is also very deep and cute or whatever. My Roman Empire is the fact that I just wrapped choreographing my first show, which I'm so excited about. So I choreographed Seussical with Waterville Play Shop Company. And two parts to this. First is that I just cannot believe that these silly ideas I had in my head for dances have now come to life on stage. Watching this whole cast just shine in all their respective roles, it's just been so incredible. So I'm so proud of them. And, you know, I'm proud of myself for making it through this. And, you know, it's such a big step for me, and an acknowledgement that a passion of mine and something that I love to do is legitimate and not, you know, just a silly little thing, which it's okay if it's a silly little thing.
Correct.
Dance girl, like, I don't
care.
But, you know, so it's really great.
I'm snapping.
Yeah. And so that's my little personal and friend professional journey. So I love that. Anyway, kicking it over to you, Phoebes. What's yours?
Mine is not deep.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, I'm taking you to Glee, okay?
Yes! Yay. Take me to Glee!
The most, like, bi panic anybody's ever felt is the duet between Santana and what's his name?
Sebastian
doing
Girl,
Are You Okay? And what's
Smooth
the other one?
Smooth Criminal.
That will forever. No. You know what? I'm gonna retract.
Retract.
No, I do agree that is absolutely. I'm going to change it, though. It's any Sousa Buster line.
True.
That is my Roman Empire.
That's
just
actually,
like,
so true.
Like the line where she's literally like, you think this is hard? Try being waterboarded. That's hard.
No, my favorite, and which I always reference to people, is there's only one person who can tell you who you are. And then they're like, me? And I'm like, no, me, Sue Sylvester. Like, you don't know. And so that's actually at work. I've started saying that to some of my coworkers, but I'll say Riley Reynolds instead of Sue Sylvester, obviously. But it is. Sue Sylvester is the ultimate Roman Empire.
You said it, and that's how Sue sees it.
No, literally, that's how Sue sees it. So anyway, thank you, Phoebe, again, so much for coming and joining
us.
Thank you.
This was
great.
I'm so happy to meet you.
Thank you. It's so nice to meet
you.
We're
besties now.
No, literally.
Yeah.
We're all going to go kiki now. So see ya. We really want to thank Phoebe Adams, our guest on today's show, for being so vulnerable and sharing her story. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties.
Bye, besties.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.